Hello, I'm Jim Cornell, and this is the WalkingPost.com podcast. WalkingPost.com is the news website dedicated to walking, with all the latest on events, books, fitness, gear, festivals, health, trails, and more. This podcast is number 30, and it's going out on October the 10th. It's been so busy that I've not even been able to do that many interviews. Right after getting back from Lithuania, it was off to Dublin, and today I'm headed to Sweden for an event where I'll also be doing interviews for the other podcast that we have on biotech. So I'm a bit behind. Dublin was nice, as it always is, although because of the NFL game, it did feel a little bit like being in Chicago without all the skyscrapers. But I did enjoy being there regardless. Most of all, I enjoy walking. So I did get quite a lot of urban walking in. But the trip to the first stage of one of the long-distance trails near Dublin didn't happen. I had the time, but it started raining at the same time. Talk about Irish hospitality, waiting for the bus from the airport to the city. The woman in front of me couldn't get her card to work, so they printed off a ticket for her. For free, and because they didn't want to look like they were playing favourites, they gave me one as well. Next day, I took the local bus, and it wasn't one with the ability to pay by card, so she let me on for free. So, I wonder if it'll be the same as that in Sweden. As always, though, it's nice to be home, and my son and I did get a really nice walk, with the intent of doing some filming, but the tail end of Storm Amy put any end to hopes of putting the drone in the air. No crazy incidents in Dublin either. I think I'm losing my touch. So first let me tell you about today, October the 10th, because it's Walk to a Park Day, it's Handbag Day, Cuba Independence Day, World Mental Health Day, and it's the National Days in Fiji and Taiwan. It's also Vet Nurse Day, World Egg Day, and because I'm here in Scotland, I have to mention it is also Porridge Day. And I had a bagel. I'm ashamed. Anyway, to the podcast. Last time we had a conversation with Anton Nikitin, Chief Sustainability Officer at Vilnius City Municipality in Lithuania. This week's interview is a bit more sciencey, and it's about a device that measures gait, among other things. And the interview is with Oisin Lennon, CEO of Danu Sports in Dublin. And it's one of the companies that I encountered on my press trip to Ireland, which was put together by Enterprise Ireland. Before we get going, if you do have any news, guest ideas, or even subjects to cover, or comments, or you want to advertise, please do get in touch via walkingpost.com, or you can just email me directly at jim@walkingpost.com. Okay, let's get through some of the headlines of the news articles you may have missed that we had on walkingpost.com this past week. Exercise can help restore the immune system of people with post-COVID syndrome. The Bruce Trail Conservancy in Canada has received $5.5 million to protect and restore vulnerable habitat, and a new 26-mile coastal path opened in Suffolk. New signs have been installed at the East Midlands Airport Trail. A 100-mile Texas Bicentennial Trail is going to be created, and Garmin unveiled its new GPS navigator. There are new guides for walking in Reading. Suunto launched its Vertical 2 smartwatch, and Yesol debuted its T3S Plus auto-incline treadmill. I love how those now come with a screen so that you can walk alongside scenery. Makes you feel like you're there almost. Now they just need to introduce people walking in the opposite direction, not moving an inch. They also need to introduce virtual dog poop to walk around and uneven pavements. A 250-acre nature reserve is going to be created in Aylesbury, and a Chinese company is the first in the world to make walking shoe midsoles from waste plastic bottles. The 33rd Green Power Hike is taking place in Hong Kong. There's a new river trail in York. And you can read all of these articles and many more at www.walkingpost.com. After the event I was at in Dublin last week, or was it the week before, which revolved around the NFL and sports medicine and health tech, I had the opportunity to chat with Oisin Lennon about his company Danu, which produces a wearable gait and performance analysis system that is placed into socks.
Maybe before we talk about the company itself, you could tell me a little bit about your background leading up to the company, because I guess there's an interesting story there, and also it kind of connects to the business.
Yeah, sure. My background, probably a bit of a, I suppose everyone has, I suppose, a unique background. I think mine's probably just a bit of an odd one growing up, and that we moved around a lot growing up, but eventually actually settled in a place called Wexford in Ireland. The start of my life was actually as an equine teacher and breaking in horses and for show jumping and hunting and eventing. And that was my life up to the age of 21, essentially. But I suppose in that time, you know, as I grew older, I also started to play rugby, which was a real passion of mine from the age of 16, 17. Got the benefit of, I suppose, being good enough to get a bit of cash, but not good enough to make a career out of the thing. So, I lived in New Zealand for a couple of years playing there. Got to have a short stint in Hong Kong playing there, but played most of it club level in Dublin, where it helped me get through college. And in that time, I was following a bit of a passion of mine in the sort of product design / industrial design, which is something I always found really interesting, where the whole idea of building a product and developing a business around a sort of unique product, which is why I started that industrial design course in the first place, based off my background in sports, which was being a perpetually injured rugby player, where multiple breaks, ligaments, muscle tears, concussions, the works. Most notably, I suppose, was a significant break to my tibial plateau, where I also tore off my meniscus and the ACL and any sort of functional bit of my knee at the age of 29. And it was a completely avoidable injury in that at the time I had a small tear in my quad, which was bleeding into my knee, and my patella was kind of floating around in a pool of blood almost. And the analysis from the physio is, look, you look fine, you're moving fine, you can play. And to playing the game, one innocuous movement meant that, one movement that I generally do all the time, the guy tries to tackle me, I turn to my left, and my whole knee just imploded. And it was something that was just completely avoidable if there's some sort of objective data to support a physio's visual observations on to see if this guy's actually moving correctly and is there any sort of compensations. And it was the same for multiple injuries, you know, coming back from a calf tear and then tearing my other calf straight away, or just multiple different injuries over the time. And from an industrial design perspective, I wanted to see what sort of devices were out there that measure particularly real world natural movement. And there wasn't really anything there, not just from an amateur perspective, but from professional sports level. A lot of it still relies on visual observations, despite the huge levels of data integrations we have in professional sports. And then you expand that and you have the same problems in medicine. So that's essentially where I ended up founding the company. Founded it back in 2017. At the time, I'd finished my undergraduate degree. So that was, I suppose, I developed it as a part of my undergraduate degree, my thesis, but then went in working as a medical device designer for a medical device startup called Connexcom Medical, who made topical tissue adhesives and tissue adhesives for not just the ones that you put on your wounds, but also for internal applications like hernia repair. And I was working on the design of the applicators for that glue. And in that time, doing various grant applications and startup boot camps to get the business started, and then eventually raising some funding at the end of 2020, which allowed me to set up the company and get my first hire and even hire myself, I suppose, to go full time.
What devices do you create?
Essentially, so what the company Danu does, we create the freedom to analyze real world movement in sports and medicine. By real world movement, I mean outside of laboratory or gym based settings, how you move in a natural environment, whether that's sports or medicine. And we've done that by developing a wearable device in the form of a pair of sensor integrated smart socks with multiple levels of embedded technology across the sole of your foot and then on the inside of your ankle that measures about 14,000 data points a second on how you're moving and the quality behind that movement, in whatever context that might be.
What does that data consist of? I mean, does it kind of show changes over time, or does it show injuries?
You've got a pair of sensor integrated socks, right? So there's two main technologies within the socks. So you've got pressure sensors on the sole of the feet. So if you can imagine, there's 15 sensors here, so almost three columns of data and five rows of data. Silicon-based pressure sensors built into the sole of that foot. They're like a uniquely flexible shoe pressure measurement system. So incredibly durable, fully machine washable, and incredibly sensitive in the measurements they provide. Unlike, I suppose, insole equivalents, which are like a rigid unit that sits inside your foot and actually manipulates how your foot interacts with the ground or with your footwear. Our smart socks essentially mold to the shape of your foot and give you that direct measure of how your foot's interacting with the ground and the footwear or whatever orthotics or insoles you might have within your shoes. And then that works with inertial sensors on the inside of your tibia, just above the ankles, which is quite an advanced unit in isolation, which can be used in isolation as well outside of the socks. And here we've got two accelerometers, a high G and a low G accelerometer, magnetometer, gyroscope, Bluetooth connectivity, battery life, and then onboard memory. And the whole idea is that between the pressure sensor and the sole of the foot, so what that measures is how your foot's interacting with the ground. So those sort of plantar pressures, what's called your center pressure, so how you move from initial to terminal contacts in every step. And then these sensors, in layman's terms, basically measure how your legs are moving through space and time. So like the length of your stride, how long your foot's on the ground, how long your feet are off the ground, and any variabilities or asymmetries behind that. In terms of what people use those measurements for, so there's over like 100 outcomes measures that we get from the sensors, and then asymmetries across every single one of those. And it's very dynamic in that what people have used it for. So anything from the general prescribed use case, which is injury rehabilitation, prevention of re-injuries, where they might be looking at what sort of loads each individual leg has gone through and the symmetries behind that. So essentially, load is the same measure that you get from the GPS units on the back of your trunk. But we're more specific in that we measure the individual limb loads, what accelerations have gone through each individual leg. It can be limb dominances, or it can be any number of those metrics, depending on the outcome. We also have people using it to, we kind of describe it as like, we've developed a very usable system that has very accurate and reliable metrics. So what that allows practitioners or clinicians to do is to measure movements in real world environments that haven't really been measurable in the past. Some examples would be, you know, we've had people do parkour using the socks, skateboarding, rodeo riding, alpine skiing, cycling, rowing, all these different measurements that we don't really prescribe for the product, just that people see, oh, here's a device, we can get some measurements doing this type of exercise, the athletes are happy to wear it, let's see what we get. And they might look at different measures, and sometimes we let them develop their own measures from the product as well. And then on the other side is the more clinically focused side of things, where we do a lot of work in the healthcare space, predominantly across neurological diseases, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, a lot of work in orthopedics, whether that's the sports medicine side for ACL injuries or people going through knee or hip replacements, and then other applications like elder care and fall prevention or mental health disorders. Again, each one of those will be looking at different elements of the data, but I suppose the gait is one of the most sort of critical measures for measuring the early onset of diseases like Parkinson's disease or progressions in those diseases, and then also measuring how effective a treatment might be in those diseases, whether that's deep brain stimulation or whether it's a new medication. So we measure, you know, the quality of movement for people. So you could detect early onset Alzheimer's. You can look at, you know, progressions in like the variability of their movement or how they shuffle their feet or whether they're still striding. So there's a, I suppose I'm waffling away here in a way of saying that we measure a lot, and everyone wants to look at something different depending on what application they're looking at.
You were mentioning the neurological disorders. Is it something that somebody would wear and it would be instantly obvious that they had it, or is it something that you would wear over time to show differences over time?
In the longer term, we'd like to be able to say that, you know, we can actually detect these things as they're happening, and you could detect it from the offset. But we're taking a smarter, more conservative approach, where we're just collecting the data and let clinicians make those sort of decisions and just trying to give them more informed decision based on how someone's moving. But we're designing it in a way that it's a movement profiling tool, because everyone has their own unique way of moving, whether that's in sports or that's just in general life. And, you know, if someone moves in an abnormal way, but they've never had an injury and they have ever a problem, that's perfectly fine. Why would you change it? But at least that's their profile. So we'd like to capture data on almost everyone as they're ideally in their healthy state. That's their profile. And it's when they move away from their natural way of moving, that's when you start to see that maybe something is actually wrong with this individual. You know, if you take that healthcare perspective and looking at neurological diseases, if gait was part of your annual health screening, you could actually detect some of these problems at the very early stages. And once you get these things at a very early stage, you can drastically improve the quality of life for an individual for a lot longer time than if you catch it at a later stage. And similarly in sports, you know, we're trying to profile the movement of an athlete, and then it's when they move away from that natural movement pattern that they have, that's when you're sort of flagging a potential injury, or maybe there's something going on in the background. You know, they have all these different biomarkers that they measure for athletes already. It can be their sleep, their wellness. Did they have a fight with the missus the night before? They do their blood biomarkers. They do their jumps every morning. Gait is another one of those biomarkers, just to see, okay, if one of these things is flagging, check out their gait, and then that's just another part of the traffic light system to see how ready this individual is, or whether they're at risk of injury.
Is it something as well that could be used in training, like in any sport, I guess, or even athletics, where you could say, well, maybe if you just did this or changed this, it would be more efficient or faster?
At the moment, it's not used a huge amount as a live training tool. The main reason, there is still an invasive element to the product. You know, we've got this hard plastic unit on the side of the leg, which over the next 2 years, we want to fully embed in the sock and just remove any sort of hard plastic from the device. We already have electronics built into the sock, so it's just incorporating those externals in as well. In that context, you know, it could be used in match situations across any sports. We still have people using it. Like, we've had people using it during rugby games, and they've had no problem. They're happy to wear it, but it's very much an athlete-to-athlete feeling of whether they're happy to use it or not. It's also our data at the moment. We don't give real-time data. It's like immediate feedback after the fact. Once we have that real-time element, then you're like an intervention tool, and you can stop things as you see the changes. But at the moment, it's more looking at it in hindsight and reviewing the data after something's happened. So we can't, unless something hasn't happened yet, I suppose we can't make any sort of interventions or support any decisions like that.
And for getting it into the socks, is that easy? Like, if Leinster wanted to put it in their rugby socks, would it be easy to transfer it from that sock to a different one?
Yeah, I guess so. We've got a pretty solid supply chain. The same company that make our socks make the Apple ProVision gloves, and the same ones that make our sensors make every touchscreen for Apple products and various other companies as well. So we do have that. We don't really offer that bespoke element. At the moment, it's kind of the Ford model. You know, you can have any color as long as it's black. But if a team came to us and like, we want this in our colors, we could easily do that. You know, it's just not something that we've experienced so far.
How is it evolving? Does it evolve?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I suppose being an industrial designer, I'm never going to be happy with the product itself, and I'll probably want it to constantly evolve. But my investors have different feelings about that, I guess, and I can see why. So natural improvements and upgrades, sort of the first one is obviously that embedding of the system into the existing electronics that we've built into the fabric already. So removing those hard plastics. For this unit here, we've designed accessories where you can attach this to like your bicep, your wrist, your lumbar, your spine, your thigh. And the idea is that you can collect full body motion capture with the IMUs that we provide, along with the kinetic data that you get from the sock and getting that, you know, full picture of the body. We also have a magnetically attachable accessory for this. You can take it out of socks, plug it into that, magnetically attaches to a barbell, and you get velocity-based measurements in the gym using the system. There's AI integrations that we're looking at. You know, we're collecting a huge amount of data across, you know, anything from really healthy individuals and elite athletes, and then you could even branch that off to different sports that they're doing. And then you've got your clinical data sets. So we've got data sets with Parkinson's disease, MS, geriatric populations, people who've gone through ACL surgeries, knee replacements, just sort of wide spanning. We book at all those data sets, and we'll be creating normative data sets for each of those. And that's where, you know, we could advance some sort of AI I'd like to say diagnostics, but at least predictive modeling and recommendations behind it. We've already made one subtle change in the product in the last year, where it used to be the full calf length device. So it used to go all the way up the calf based off athlete feedback, and also just making it easier for the, I suppose, more clinical patients. So if you can imagine, you know, a geriatric Parkinson's disease trying to pull a sock all the way up the length of their calf, you know, we reduced that down to like a tennis length sock just to make it a bit more patient friendly and usable across the board. And I thought that's more data. We can end up doubling the number of sensors in the sole of the foot to add a higher resolution, which would make it more usable for podiatrists and particularly focus on like diabetic foot neuropathies or ulcerations. And yeah, there's a lot we could do, I guess. But we've only had our first commercial product to sell since December of 2024. And then we've got this new version, which is our FDA approved medical device version, since May of this year. We will continuously innovate, I guess, but in increments, depending on the financial elements behind it.
Yeah, for sure. Would it have applications in things like running shoe companies or hiking boot companies for them to adjust the way that they mold the heels or the soles, things like that?
Yeah, so I can't name any names, but three of our first clients were footwear companies, and we didn't anticipate that at all. But they use it in their new footwear development labs and R&D labs, not just for footwear, but any sort of research projects that they might have, where they might have collaborations across different athletic departments or different sports. It's a new research tool that they can use to capture what's happening within the foot, and not just, again, not just in the lab, but I suppose there's a real remote element to the product that they can, you know, if they want to go down to some incredible athletes up in the mountains and just give them the socks to do a 5K trail around Mont Blanc, they can do that. And then they have done that, I guess, and then change your footwear, do the same thing again. And it's not just how the athlete feels in the shoe, it's what data is being created at the same time. So yeah, it's definitely an area that's been of interest for other companies, and we're definitely trying to target that too.
All right. And does it have a consumer aspect to it? I mean, can you imagine it being sold to just over the internet to regular people to kind of check their gait?
I'd love that, because it's ironic that it's mostly in professional sports, because the whole idea of building the product was to make that professional level of analysis more accessible to everybody. And, you know, we've kind of costed everybody out of it at the moment, mainly just to the cost factor for us as well, that it costs so much to make this product because we're new and our volumes are low. But absolutely, the goal is that it's something that is accessible to everyone. If you can imagine any marathon runner or triathlete or ultramarathon runner that wants to, that loves their Garmin watches and every other gadget going, if they want to have a product that helps them understand their gait and prevent injuries or recover, absolutely. On our side, our data and how we display all our information is probably almost too detailed and almost academic in its approach. So it's really targeted at the more clinicians and practitioners to make informed decisions. So there's a bit of a learning part on our side. And again, that's where I think AI could be a big benefit and help someone, any person that picks it up, understand the information and gain from the information. Whereas I think at the moment, if we gave it to any Joe Blog, it's almost too complex and detailed to understand.
It's doing well for you as a product. Are you developing other products at the company?
We're not focused on developing other products at the moment. We've definitely had inquiries on different types of devices, maybe things for measuring like isometric strength in sports. We do work closely with another company that developed gloves, and I think there's a lot of applications and potential collaboration there that we could look at, which I can't really share at the moment. But yeah, there's definitely angles that we'd look at. There's potential to develop like platforms that could be, you know, a full neurological testing kit for an individual that's not just focused on your lower limbs, it's your full body and the spectrum of that. So yeah, definitely. We built a company as a sports technology company, but very much with a med tech philosophy. Whereas, you know, we spent 4 years in R&D before we sold a single one of these devices. And I think it's probably an important part of the story is that, you know, we had a very evidence-based approach in coming to market, because from an industrial design perspective, I find it a bit disingenuous when companies build a product, don't validate it, push it out to the market and let the customers experience the failures and the poor data and then reiterate from there. I know there's a reason for it and you can get revenues quicker doing that way, but I don't fully agree with that approach. So we wanted to come to the market with a fully pre-validated product from everything from not just the quality of the data and proving that, everything from your Bluetooth connections were reliable, the firmware was reliable, the app flow worked and didn't crash on you. You know, we wanted to have a full customer-centric approach where it worked and it provides really valuable outcomes in a user-friendly way. And in that process, you know, we invested about $250,000 building our own biomechanics lab here in the office. So we've got our motion capture systems, we've got force plates, we've got instrumented treadmills, everything that you need to capture the gold standard equivalents of our data. So, you know, our data science team are always trying to align our algorithms to the gold standards, you know, invested in sponsoring PhDs. And there's a lot of cool research ongoing with the product at the moment. Some of it sponsored by us, but a lot of it sort of independent as well. So there should be some really cool outcomes from that. I feel like we're trying to do things in the right way. We still make plenty of mistakes and we don't know what we don't know when it comes to product failures. So unfortunately, we do trip up sometimes. But overall, I think we're trying to have the right sort of values behind building a product for customers.
Yeah, right. You don't want it to kind of melt in the rain or with sweat or things like that. So those little things, you don't want the sock to wear out, you know, after 2 months. There's a lot of little things behind the scenes.
Yeah, like, you know, even when you said it, you know, we put it through a pretty robust reliability protocol. So it's gone through over 200 wash cycles to start with. We've had it at minus 20 degrees Celsius environments to plus 65 degrees Celsius environments, humidity chambers. Some poor fella putting it on and off 5,000 times, dropping it from a height, you know, all sorts of tests to make sure it's robust and reliable. And it's passed all those tests, thankfully. You were a little bit worried when you look at some of the tests, is it going to go through this? But it still works. Again, we're trying to do things right.
It's definitely an interesting technology that's only going to get better. And certainly useful in diseases and conditions, and already helping to shape the footwear space. So, lots of relevance to walking. Although only one interview, I thought probably no rant this week, as in true Monty Python style. I'm feeling a little conciliatory at the moment. No, nothing to do with that really. I just do have a few lined up. I just don't want to be doing one a week. It kind of loses its impact. But if you have your own pet peeves related to walking, I'd be happy to receive them and happy to read them out on the podcast or paraphrase them, assuming that they're fit for broadcast and assuming that you want me to. So that's it for another podcast. Next week we'll be talking about a new walking book. If you have news or suggestions for podcast guests, please do get in touch via jim@walkingpost.com. So I hope you enjoyed this week's walkingpost.com podcast, and I hope you have a great week, hopefully with a walk involved somewhere. So until next time, happy trails. Walking Post from walkingpost.com is an Air Coastal Media Limited production.